Good morning, brothers and sisters. I want to start by saying what an honor it is to stand here this morning and speak to you all. When Reverend Seeley asked us to give the homily for Holy Family Weekend, Alex and I looked at each other in stunned silence and then burst out laughing. How much more unqualified could two people be to speak to a Christian, nay, Catholic church about Mary, Joseph, and Jesus? I grew up in an atheist household, but as a kid raised in the countryside, the neo-paganism I discovered as a teenager spoke to my sense of a pastoral spirituality. Meanwhile, Alex grew up suspecting religion was all a bunch of hogwash, and to this day, he reserves a special side eye for anybody daring to instruct him on how to worship. Both of us divorced, we found our way here to Spiritus from Unitarian Universalism, the nearest branch of which would be caught dead before the word God was even uttered at the pulpit. So after our laughter died down, we discerned some more, consulted a little more with Reverend Seeley, and here we are. Earlier this week, I was listening to K-Love on the radio, and someone said, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So I'll be expecting our certificates later in the mail this week. In truth, family is an extremely rewarding, but also extremely fraught term for us for so many reasons. Between us, we are a child of divorced and remarried parents, and also the first one in the family to get a divorce. We both married with the goal of having children, but have been unable to raise them as we intended. We have struggled with infertility and become a parent by accident. We have 6 siblings, but only talk to one, and 1 sibling. So many occasions throughout our year mark the idealistic fantasy of family, and I know many of us struggle at these times. Today, we want to speak God's love to those for whom, through circumstances out of their own control, family is a difficult concept. The Spirit led us both to this topic separately, so it was kind of a no-brainer. For me, I was struck this past Sunday as Mike Boucher gave one of his typical, absolutely phenomenal reflections. No pressure tonight, right? So last week we heard from Luke's Gospel, where Mary hurries to visit her cousin Elizabeth after learning of her maternity through God. We learned about how subversive this passage is and how Jesus' birth signals an overturning of the world order. Really good stuff. But I couldn't help but take Mike's scrutiny of biblical patriarchy just a little bit further. Yes, 2 women talking to each other with no men to be heard from. And yet, they still represent the idealized version of womanhood from a patriarchal lens. They are pregnant and with sons. I especially appreciated Mike's nod to the way Elizabeth had likely been treated as a woman who couldn't bear a child to that point, with likely whispers of barren or old maid from the elders of the community and possibly outright cruelty from the young, maybe even cursed by God. But wait, we learn God heralds the arrival of his begotten son with the blessing of conception for Elizabeth, which is a super realistic solution for those who simply can't conceive. You know, just get the Lord to knock up your cousin. I have children. They're over here waiting to get back to their tablets after Mass. But I wasn't going to. My 3 beautiful daughters weren't in God's plan for me. I wanted to have a child. But when I opened my arms to life, life was nowhere to be found. For me, it was polycystic ovarian syndrome. For others, it might be a series of miscarriages or parts that just won't go together right. This pain is soul-crushing, but perfectly silent. You can see my children. You don't see the months turned to years, the procedures, the prayers, the tears, and me scrutinizing my medical care just a little bit further. Infertility made me feel less than human. It made me feel less than even alive. Some of us make it out with children one way or another, but some of us don't. So I want to say to the hearts that are still longing, I see you. God sees you. You are not alone. You are not less. Your life is worthy. Your work matters. I will pray for you. I will listen to you. You do not have to suffer in silence. You are also a child of God. You are still a woman, a man, a person, a human. So the Catholic tradition is far from the only tradition that exalts motherhood for women. Even my earliest religion reveres a feminine trinity goddess as maiden, mother, and crone. It's the cultural water in which we all swim. So this morning I'm calling upon the Spiritist tradition of disruption to invoke the never-ending love of God for those who cannot conceive, for you are blessed and also welcome at this table. And now I will pass the microphone to Adelaide.
Warning, it's very short. When I was 8 years old, my parents divorced. And when I was 11, my dad got remarried this year. And before that, my dad bought a new house near the end of 2023. I now have a stepmom and 3 step-siblings. Before the remarriage, me and my sisters, Hazel and Jane, visited my stepmom, Alice, and her kids at their old house. I loved going there. We would play with the 2 girls, Robin, who was a year older than Jane, and Cora, 2 months younger than me and diagnosed with autism and ADHD. We barely saw the oldest kid, Ted, mainly because he was always on his phone being a grouchy couch potato. I thought my life would be perfect if we bought the house and when Dad remarried. I thought we'd be a happy, loving family. I thought we could maybe cherish every moment we had at that house. I was wrong. Instead came a series of arguments, assumptions, drama, and punishments. It started out good. My mom dropped us off at my dad's new house. Sunday, October 14th, 2023, after church. We went inside, amazed by its newness. Cora and Robin were in the living room waiting for us. The whole day went well, as usual. But then it came crashing down as soon as it rose. That night, after we brushed our teeth, we were full of a lot of energy and started tackling each other in the hallway. At that moment, Alice came up the stairs. The sight of our crazy energy, she told us if we didn't get in bed, there would be consequences. I was shocked that Alice said that to us. She never yelled at us before. But the weeks went by and we got used to the place. Thought that eventually we'd be a perfect family soon. But even though it was depressing for a while, things have gotten better. Rules have changed. Behavior got better. Our relationships with our step-siblings have improved just a little bit. But I have to admit, I never thought of how my experiences connected to Jesus, because you wouldn't expect Jesus to go through all that, you know? But perhaps there was a time when something unexpected happened in Jesus' life, at some point. There, I told you it was short.
As a child of divorce, I've had a lot of struggle with my family. Argument, divorce, remarriage, punishment. Family is complicated. I am here to talk about some of my experiences I have faced after my parents got divorced. About sometime in April, my mother had moved out of my dad's house and into my great-grandma's house. About a year later, a new person came into my life. One about my mom's age named Alice. At first, before my dad got remarried, I thought she was sweet, and I loved playing with her two daughters. But the moment she came into my life, I wanted to push her back out. There were suddenly rules I never had to follow, and punishments for confusing reasons. Recently, nothing's really happened. I noticed I didn't really get in trouble as much, and for a while, I was never in trouble. I'm curious, have they changed? Will it be like this forever? Will the chaos and sadness return? I may not know now, but I hope in the future something great will come, and I'll finally figure this out. On the other hand, I have an awesome family at my mom's house, and it's like no other. I love seeing my mom and father figure, Alex. He's very silly because he often says this sentence. I just work here. I don't understand why he says it when he also lives there. I also like his two children, Greg and Olivia. Olivia is very nice and really likes cats for some reason. Greg is pretty cool. And on Mondays, he goes with Alex to a Dungeons and Dragons event. I love this family very much, and I can't wait to see what lies ahead next.
I don't like going in between my mom's and my dad's house. Especially because I used to only see my mom on the weekends. And at the time, she had night shifts, so I didn't see her much. Now we see her more often. We see our mom and our dad every week now. But in the past, it was hard for me. This is like when Jesus was a human boy and didn't see his dad often. I think that's why he stayed, because he missed his dad the way I missed my mom.
I am particularly struck by two points in today's gospel. The first being that the parents of the 12-year-old Jesus could depart on a journey of several days' duration from Jerusalem back to Nazareth, and more or less take for granted that he is, in fact, among the traveling party. Setting aside the popular series of implausibly predicated movies from the 90s, it is quite difficult from our cultural vantage point today, to imagine two parents spending an entire day on the road before noticing that their child is simply nowhere to be found. From the text, we hear almost nothing about the logistics of this journey, only that it was taken in the company of relatives and friends. This passage reminds us that Jesus lived in a society significantly more connected and interdependent than ours. I imagine them as a large group of people accustomed to living, working, and playing near each other most of the time, with significant bonds of affinity and trust between them. I imagine at least several youth of Jesus' age running and playing around this group, and adults busy with the baggage, younger children, and infants needing to be carried. This is a trip they make yearly for Passover, so the routine is familiar by now, and Mary and Joseph don't suspect that Jesus has an agenda of his own that day. I wonder, actually, if in previous years, maybe the boy had lingered briefly near the temple, listening to the elders and teachers, and beginning to formulate his questions and longing for the day when he could engage with them to learn, but also to challenge their understanding and assumptions. For me, the climax of this reading comes with the phrase, "But they did not understand what he said to them." At this point, Mary and Joseph have located Jesus and admonished him for causing them such concern. He reminds them that he has a mission to carry out beyond his duty to them as his parents. But even Mary, knowing what has been previously revealed to her by the angel, does not understand why he must take these actions at this time. The lack of comprehension between a parent and a child is part of the human condition that we all might have to cope with at times. In some cases, like this one, the disconnect may appear to resolve without too much difficulty. We read that Jesus returned home to Nazareth with his parents and was obedient to them. I wonder, though, what was it like for them later, when Jesus was grown and had left to carry out his public work? Did stories about his ministry reach back to them? Did they understand what he was doing? Were they afraid of consequences when the things he said and did challenged established authorities? I've struggled with some of this myself in both the roles of the child and the parent. When I left home to attend university, before very long, I discovered that I did not have a strong aptitude for my intended major. I was determined to change my program of study, and this seemed like a straightforward and entirely reasonable thing to do. For some reason, though, this caused my mother enormous distress, and we argued bitterly. Not only could she not understand why I wanted to do this, I could not understand her objections. I remember vividly how confused and hurt I felt. Nothing we said to each other made any kind of sense. Of course, at the time, I was 19, not 12, so eventually she had to accept my decision. I did well in my new major, and life moved on. Several years ago, after the end of my first marriage, I found myself needing to rebuild the family I wanted to have. I had not been part of any church for a long time, but I began attending the First Universalist Church in Rochester, and there I found an acceptance and belonging that was like family to me. I also met a wonderful woman, Chelsea, and her three daughters, and we have made the choice to build a new family together, as well as to be members here at Spiritus. Unfortunately, this has led to some estrangement between myself, my parents, and my own children. My family of origin has a very rigid dynamic and view of the world. My mother, in particular, is not able or willing to accept new and different people as part of our family. As a parent, I have struggled to explain my new relationship and my new church communities to my children. I know that often it has been my own inept communication that has contributed to this struggle. It is something I continue trying to do better at. As things stand, they do not attend church with me, and I miss them terribly on Sunday mornings. At this point, they are nearly grown up, so I must trust that they can find their own spiritual paths, as I have had to. Perhaps someday they will be curious enough to want to find out what Dad's church is like. After a very rough start, Chelsea and I have had more success at bringing our immediate families together. This year, her children and my children exchanged Christmas gifts for the first time, and my son even went so far as to say, "It was fun." From him, that means a lot. The story of the Holy Family reminds us that life often proceeds in an unpredictable and challenging way. For some of us, the challenges are physical or emotional health. For others, our jobs or families. Our faith reminds us that none of us face these challenges alone. We walk the path of life together, and Jesus walks with us. Mary and Joseph must cope with announcements from angels, an unorthodox pregnancy, being unhoused and far from home as they welcome their baby, and raising a son who is destined to challenge and change the world. When our own lives are full of struggle and challenge, we can consider ourselves to be in very good company. Amen.